To be a catalyst means that you are a person, a thing, or an event that causes a change or an action. And one of the things I want to do is show you a little bit of this morning. I'm probably going to make a mess, so I'll probably have to clean this up afterwards. You guys are okay with messes, all right? He says, yeah, he's going to get this, do it. Okay, so when we look at this, people know what I'm doing. Guess what I've got? Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're going to try to invoke a little action. We're going to try to catalyst something here. So we've got these Mentos. And I read that because of the aspartame, I can't do aspartame. It gives me headaches. Anybody else do aspartame? Yeah, like Diet Coke. I have extra Diet Coke if anybody wants it. But, you know, so what we do is we drop these Mentos and it acts as an agent that will cause a change, right? It causes something. So what we're going to do, we're going to drop this in here kind of quick. Let me switch hands so I don't get this all over my watch, okay? So I'm probably just in big trouble. Here we go. That wasn't too bad, was it? I went with the smaller bottle. So it... All right. Well, that's going to be fun. All right, so we've got the Diet Coke, we got these three Mentos, and what we see happening here is a bottle of pop. Okay, I'm a Midwest guy, so I'm gonna call it pop. You guys call it what? Soda, right? I spoke one time at a youth event, and I called it pop, and then one guy raised his hand. This kid is like 13, 14 years old, and he goes, "Excuse me, sir, you're not from here, are you?" You know, and so yeah, it's pop, right? It's just sitting there. It's doing nothing. It's looking pretty, but we added a catalyst, a simple three little Mentos that caused a change or action, right? It caused something. It stirred things up. It invoked action. So if you want to dive in a little bit deeper to this, you might be a little bit of scientific nerd or something, but if you want to do that, we see that it's in fact this Mentos that actually causes this reaction, but there's a deeper reason to it and how it all works called nucleation. All right, anybody ever know what nucleation is? I feel like I have like my own like assistant. Isn't this amazing? This is great. Thank you. All right, so it's nucleation, so we'll just move on. So we get the idea, right? We get the idea that things cause action. And there's a reason we've done this morning. When we are saved, when we become followers of Jesus Christ, things must change. We're not the same. My dad used to say, if he is what he was, then he ain't. Right? There's a change when God saves us. We're expected, one of those things is we're expected to lead others to Jesus Christ. Our vision statement in our church is connecting people to Jesus, growing together, and living authentically for Him. So 2 weeks ago, we covered that idea of connecting people to Jesus. He tells us to be His witnesses. Here, there, and everywhere. I'll describe that here in a second. But he just tells us to be his witnesses everywhere, to make disciples, be willing to lay aside our rights and our comforts so we can, for the sake of the gospel, for the spread of the gospel, to lead other peoples to Christ. And then we're given the Holy Spirit. I'm excited later in this year we're going to do a 3 or 4 week series on the Holy Spirit. So I'm excited about doing that. But Jesus says in John 14 that we have the Counselor, we have the Holy Spirit that will be with us forever. Acts 2, Peter speaks of those that repent and turn to Christ as their Savior. They receive the Holy Spirit. That moment you say yes to Jesus as your Savior, we have the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 says this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So it's when you become saved, right? At that point, he's talking about the day of Pentecost. And you shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest parts of the earth. So they're there in Jerusalem. That's where they're going to start their ministry. So there's the here. They got the two places that are right outside, the here, there, and everywhere. So we have that Holy Spirit that will help us do what we have been called and saved to do. We've got that Holy Spirit, the God that dwells inside of us and empowers us. And then if we look to 1 Corinthians 2:14 through 16, we're not going to cover that, but you can write that down and look at it. We see that the Holy Spirit actually helps us and leads us to understand the Bible, to understand God's Word. Last week, we covered the second part of our vision. We got connecting people to Jesus and then growing together. We talked about craving God's Word in order to grow in our faith and our relationship with Christ. And the Word of God is to be our number one sustenance. It was compared to like bread, food, right? We crave food because that's what we need to grow and to get strong and stay healthy. But the Word of God is actually more powerful than that. It's to be our number one sustenance in our lives, in our personal lives, our homes, and our church. So why did I make this mess? Thank you, Kim, by the way, for cleaning that up for me. Why did I make this mess this morning? Why the illustration? As we saw this pop this morning, it needed something. It wasn't going to blow up on its own, right? I don't know, maybe if you shake it, it will do that, right? But it needed something. It needed something to invoke action. And we as Christians have been given something along with the Holy Spirit to invoke action, and it's the Word of God. It's the Bible. By the way, if anybody needs a Bible, you might have one at the end of your row. We'll be in the New Testament today. If you need one, just slip your hand up, and we've got somebody in the back, and it's yours to keep. So I want us to see that today that God's Word leads us to action. Some might say that we live in a church culture, forget talking about the world's culture, the church culture that delights in listening and hearing, but runs from doing. We don't want to have this mentality that we check off our list for the week when we come and we hear a sermon, or we go to Sunday school, or we go to Kids Life, or whatever it is. We just kind of check that off, right? Being here and hearing the Word of God is biblical and a much needed thing. The local church is a biblical idea, but we can't miss the whole point if we listen and study, but we miss out on the doing. Probably in our own lives, or we're good at pointing fingers, so let's just think about it. We can think about somebody or even ourselves that knows the Word of God well, but doesn't live it, right? You guys tracking with me on that one? We really become worthless in our mission for Jesus Christ. Our vision statement, again, connecting people, growing together and living for Him. Today we're going to focus on that living for Jesus in a real way. I share this story every now and then, and I finally asked my parents for permission to share it, which was a good idea, right? But we lived about 15 minutes north of my church growing up. We could take the main road or we can take the back road. My parents always told people we took the back road because it was scenic. It was not necessarily for that. It was so if we got in trouble, which we did most of the time, we could get pulled over, you know, get our butt spanked, right? And we'd move. I just said that from the pulpit, didn't I? Right? We'd get a spanking, and then we'd go to church. And then guess what? We'd get out of the car, and Dad's like, straighten up. So we walk in with a smile on our face, right? And the usher says, how you doing? It's like, I'm good, man. I'm really good. And inside, I'm like, I hurt, you know? Right? We get good at not living for Jesus. In a real way, we can mask it, and we pretend many times. We don't want to be worthless in our mission for Him. We want to live for Him in a real way, and we're going to talk about how we do that today. I want to encourage us this morning, as I should every week, by the way, when we open up the Word of God, it should invoke change. Amen, church? It should invoke change. It should invoke action. It should invoke something. So I'm going to encourage you guys this morning, that very first thing on your notes, church, is put God's Word into action. And we're going to talk about that in three different points today, but put God's Word into action. What do you mean? Just can't read it and move on? No, put it into action. I got in trouble when I was in school because I would read a book and just move on, and then I had to do a book report and I couldn't remember anything because I was just reading it to read it, right? Our text this morning is going to be from James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, James shows us how to respond. Leading up to our specific text today, we're going to call him Jim today, okay? Jimmy, old Jimmy. He instructs how to respond during trials, right? And then how to respond to temptations. And what we're going to focus on today is how we as followers, by the way, the reason I point that out is I like to preach in context. We want to know what's going on around it. If you're struggling with temptations, you're struggling with how to respond during trials, dive into James 1. It's a good passage for that. It'll really challenge you, by the way. And today we're gonna focus on how we as followers of Jesus and students of the Bible to respond to truth. How are we to respond to God's Word in our lives? If you guys would stand this morning as we open up the Word of God, and we're gonna read this morning. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers and who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Verse 25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Father, we come to you, God, and we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Bible, and we thank you for people that are here today. Help us hear what you have to say. Hear what the Word of God has to say, God. Help us be attentive. Help us know how to put your Word into action. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So what do we do with the Word of God? How do we respond to the Bible? How do we respond to the Word of God? I was thinking about this psalmist in Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. The psalmist writes this. Really think about what he's saying. I'm not sure if... Okay, it is up there. All right. So how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. When we look into the Bible, into the Word of God, we must be willing to allow it to guide us, to teach us, right? And as we read, we treasure it. What does that mean? We're going to talk about that, to treasure it. That word treasured means that we hide it in our heart, we store it, we value it. There are things that we remember because we value them, we hold on to them. So we keep it within us. We keep the Word of God within us, and the Holy Spirit helps us understand the Word of God, and then we respond. So we're going to kind of walk through this three ways. I want us to look at three simple ways to respond to God's Word that will help us live authentically for Him. Now, they're simple, but they're vital. When we read the Word of God and treasure it and hold it in our hearts, let's receive the Word of God with humility. Humility is the state of being humble. In verse 19 through 20, James writes, "This you know, my beloved brethren." He's speaking to Christians, to followers of Jesus Christ. He's not speaking to the world. He's speaking to those that said, "Jesus, you're my Lord." Right? Are you guys tracking with me today? Are we good? That's what he's saying. He's talking to us. "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear." This literally means hurry up and listen. We want to say it to our kids sometimes, right? I got two little boys. Dudes, come on, hurry up and listen, right? Hurry up and listen. Hurry up and listen to the Word of God. We want to have an urgency to hear and read the Word of God. And then we get to listen, to understand and grow. And then it says, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak. Our goal when listening and hearing is to hear from God and to allow the Holy Spirit within us to lead us. And slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. We're to become slow to becoming angry. We want to receive the Word of God with humility and with humbleness. To listen humbly, not with our defenses up. We're going to talk a little bit about that because I think we can all be guilty of that. Not with our defenses up that leads us to anger and a resistance to the Word of God. Can't we often approach the Bible talking and not listening? I don't necessarily mean out loud talking, but I actually do that a lot. Right? Do you guys ever do that? For my office, there's a couple days a week that I just lock myself in my, literally lock it because the boys want to come. It's in my house and just lock the doors. And I'm sitting there reading the Word of God and I'm studying it and I'm praying, God help me understand this. And there might be a passage that's a little trying and I'm going and I'm studying it and I'm saying, okay, what does this mean here? What's the original? And then I'm sitting there reading it and I start talking out loud. It's like, oh yeah, that's good stuff, God, right? You guys ever do that? Okay, I'm the only one. Okay. All right. So where am I at here? All right. We can come to the Word of God with our minds already made up on how we want to live, on how we want to think. And sometimes, if not most of the time, Scripture goes counter to our ways of living and counter to our own thoughts. We can choose to receive God's Word humbly, or we can decide to hold up our own thoughts and our ways higher than His. I just kind of find it amazing sometimes whenever we give God our eternity, but we can't give Him our thoughts and our ways, right? I mean, so when we do that, when we come in that attitude, it can lead us to ignore or really even twist His words. We don't want to twist what the Word of God says. And I even think about this with the angry side of things. I know I'm kind of talking in circles here. I'm just wanting you guys to get this idea of coming humbly. I think about the Apostle Paul. He goes in to preach the Word of God, and these people, they become angry. God's people become angry at the Word of God. The words that he is speaking, they don't line up with their thinking and what they want in their own ways. They become angry. They drag him out. They stone him. Coming to God's word, not willing and ready to listen to what actually he wants to say. If we don't come slow to speak and slow to respond in anger, it gets us nowhere. When we don't receive God's word as authority in our life and with humility, then we approach Scripture and we read it and we find something we don't particularly like. And we find ourselves looking for a way out. And I don't like what this passage says. There's got to be something else here. I'm going to dig in the Greek or the Hebrew or something. I'm going to find a way out of this one so that I don't have to follow it. Asking, how do I get around this commandment? How do I get around this godly attitude or this way of life? But no, we want to come humbly. How do we approach the Word of God so that it will invoke action? We come humbly. We are ready to lay aside our own thoughts. We have an attitude of humility and allows us to hear what God is really saying. God wants us to listen to His Word as it is meant to be heard. We talked about this last week. People are good about making the Bible say what they want it to say. Right? We want to approach the Bible in a way where we're actually listening and hearing in a humble way. How do we receive God's Word with humility? Look at verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the Word of God, receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your souls. It says, put aside, get rid of this moral filth. Get rid of the filthiness. Put aside the evil that is so prevalent in our world and even sometimes in our lives. Just get rid of it. We can come to God and His Word being greatly influenced by the world and by ourselves. If we want to come to the Word of God in a humble way, then we need to set aside those things. We get rid of the filth. We get rid of even what we want. And we listen to what God says. Put anything that opposes God aside. I really like that passage out of Psalm 139 at the very end. It says, search me and try me, know my heart, find if there's any wicked way. And that word wicked means any way that opposes you. Is there anything, God, in my life that I'm not even seeing that opposes you? And right here, we're just talking about put aside things that we're aware of that opposes you, God. And humbly receive God's Word and treasure it in your heart. The Bible says, in humility, receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your soul. James says something here that's very important. He says that this Word, the Word of God, the Bible, is able to save your souls. The Word in our hearts brings us salvation. Here's what I mean. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. This is how we're saved, by the Word of God taking root. It gets planted in us. Believing it, believing the truth about our sin and our need for Jesus. I do want to say this. Carrying this thing around does not mean that you are saved. Amen, church? All right? Okay. Posting verses on your Facebook page, your Twitter page, fantastic stuff. We got little window decals for our church, you know. All that stuff is fantastic. Carrying around a Bible, opening it up and reading it does not make you a Christian. I will tell you this. There's somebody that knows this Bible very, very, very well. And that's Satan. And I can tell you, he's not going to spend eternity with Jesus. Right? So just the Bible itself does not actually save it. It's the words. It's the truth. It's the God-breathed truth that's in this Bible that leads us and brings us to salvation. So let's refuse, church, to come to the Bible looking for the answers that satisfies our flesh. Let's receive the Word of God humbly. The Word that is implanted, receive it with humility. In other words, put ourselves aside, put even our own selves aside, our own desires and everything, and say, God, speak to me. I'm listening. When's the last time that we said that when we approach God and we open up the Bible and we're like, all right, I'm going to check this off. I want to get through this whole thing in a year. I'd rather you take 3 years and actually listen to what God is saying, right? We go through those one-year Bibles. By the way, they're fantastic. The first time I read all the way through the Bible was a one-year Bible, right? And you read through them. But you want to read them in such a way that you can say to God, speak to me, God. I'm listening. Next, remember the Word of God continually. These next 2 points we're going to talk about are a little bit intertwined, coming from verses 23 through 25. But I want to look at this point first, to remember the Word of God continually. Verse 22 starts out, but prove yourselves doers of the world, or the Word. Not the world, church. Don't do that, okay? But prove yourselves doers of the Word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. And at the end of this analogy, James says this in verse 25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. In verse 25, James says, one who looks intently at the perfect law, looks intently. That word translated from Greek means this, to stoop down to something, to a thing or something or a person in order to look at it. That's what that word means. To stoop down in order to look at it also means this, to look carefully into something, inspect it curiously as one who would become acquainted with something. I've got a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old, and their favorite show, one of their favorite shows is George, Curious George. What's that dude do, man? He gets in there and he just like tries to figure this stuff out. You guys know what Curious George is, right? Don't leave me hanging. Okay, thank you. All right. Have you ever had a kiddo come up to you, either your own or somebody else's kiddo, come up to you and they're crying hysterically and they say, kiss my boo-boo, or I've got a boo-boo. I feel weird saying boo-boo up here, but it is. I'm like, kiss my boo-boo. I got a boo-boo, daddy. And we get down and get in a good position to look at their wound. We get in the good light, right? We get a good light in there, and my son likes to grab one of my flashlights, and he just wants to point. So sometimes we'll take a flashlight. There's nothing there. He wants a Band-Aid for his toe, and there's nothing there. And sometimes we just, this is so funny. This has nothing to do with my sermon. But my son will like stub his toe. And so he's like, daddy, I want a Band-Aid. So we go and we get him a Band-Aid after we talk for 5 minutes trying to talk him out of it. And he's sitting there walking around like this, daddy, I need a Band-Aid. I need a Band-Aid. We put the Band-Aid on, and guess what he does? You know, daddy, I need help down the stairs, you know? And so anyways, that's free, okay? Anybody else seen that? Okay, all right. I don't even know where I'm at anymore. All right. So we look at it, and we look at their wound, their boo-boo. I want to say wound. You guys go, boo-boo sounds weird to me. We want to look at it in the right light, at the right angle, and close enough to we can see if it's really bad. Because in reality, they're our little kids, right? And they need us. So we want to make sure that they're okay. We inspect it. And I already told Jessica I was going to do this. See, none of you guys can get me in trouble. Jessica's home. Our two boys aren't feeling well, so she's home with them today. And I told her, I said, I'm going to do this so I can't get in trouble. I can tell when Jessica is really intently looking at something. All right? Now, she doesn't always do this, but I know that when she does, she's paying close attention. She's becoming acquainted with something, right? All these illustrations are for a purpose, right? She's intently looking. Now, when most people are doing this, they stare, okay? They're looking at something, and they just kind of stare. I'm a body language guy, right? Sometimes you just like, your body goes towards it. You're just really staring at it. You stoop down, as that definition says. And they have their body facing that, their face facing, whatever they're looking at, right? So they're doing this, right? Or they're just kind of really watching. Not my wife, okay? Jessica, let's say she's watching something on I love you, Jess, if you're here, you know. So she's sitting there watching something on television. It's really intriguing, and she's really wanting to make sure that she gets it. Or maybe she's reading something. This is kind of weird when she reads it. But she's really looking at it, like there's something going on TV. And then whenever she's really ready to focus, she kind of goes like this. Her face is pointing this way, and her eyes are this way. I'm like, what are you doing, babe? I'm watching this. No, you're not. You're watching me. My eyes are over. That's what Jessica does when she looks intently. But I get to see that in her, right? We get to know when they're really looking at something. My boys, they'll see something. They get down as close as possible. You know, I have no idea what they're going to do when they get that close. So I don't let them get that close. But they intently look at. You guys get this picture in your head, this whole intently thing? Are you guys with me? Okay. When we look at something intently, when we look at the Word of God intently, we stop amidst all of our busyness. Anybody busy in here, right? We can't be busy in this. I mean, you can't not be busy really in this world, right? We amidst all of our busyness, we stop in our tracks, and we open up the Word of God and we read it and listen intently. And church, we read it and hear it to remember it. We read it to remember it. I remember when I was younger and we had Bible verses, you know, you memorize the Bible verses, what are they called? Memory verses. That was tough, wasn't it? Okay, memory verses, right? So we try to remember those things, and there's reason for that. They want us to train us to do that, and we want it to read and hear what God is saying to remember it. It says, be one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, meaning that we continue always to remain in it. Not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. Soak it in, right? So that you don't forget it. Soak it in a way that you don't forget it. If I were to walk up to one of you guys, and I would say this, Christopher, I want you to remember, this is Christopher here, right? I want you to remember all the states in the United States of America and be able to remember them and repeat it back to me in alphabetical order. Right? You might listen to me. As I'm teaching, right, and more than likely you're probably not going to remember. But if I came to you and said, Christopher, I'm going to teach you the states in alphabetical order, and if you remember it, I'm going to give you $1,000. It's not in the church budget, it's not real, so I'm just kidding, okay? Right. So, all right. So I'm going to give you $1,000. I bet you change a little bit, right? I bet you pay a little bit more close attention. You write it down, you study it, you hear it over and over and over again until you get it, right? So then I'm like, Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois. Okay, you get what I'm saying? You just remember so that you can spout it off as fast as possible. I can do it in like 10 seconds. It's awesome. But I learned it from a little song because I needed to learn it to remember it because I was going to be standing up in fifth grade and singing it in front of people, right? So you remember, you study something, you look at it, you read it, you listen to it to remember it. And sometimes as we live our lives as Christians, we get comfortable and we're comfortable with forgetting. Not just forget the words, but sometimes we forget to be in the Word of God. That was last week's sermon, but sometimes we even forget to be in the Word of God. But whenever we do it, sometimes we just approach it in a legalistic type of way. We just open this thing up and we're like, okay, I'm good, God, let's go get him. Right? But we don't listen to remember. And James is addressing this. He uses this analogy of a man who looks at himself in the mirror and walks away, and the dude can't even pick himself out of a police lineup. Right? I mean, he looks and walks away. And he doesn't remember. He has no clue what he looks like. By the way, that's ridiculous. Right? We don't do that. You look in the mirror and you're like, okay, I've got a blemish here. I want to fix my hair here. Or, you know, I mean, you look and you want to fix something. You look at it intently. And James is saying it is ridiculous to work or to look into the Word of God and walk away and forget it. He says it's ridiculous. That analogy that he's using, you're like, that doesn't even make sense. Who does that? Who looks in the mirror and walks away and doesn't remember what they look like? And James is like, duh. Who does that? So we want to remember the Word of God. We want to hide it in our heart. We want to absorb it. Can we have a moment of honesty here real quick? Is that okay? Yeah? No? He says no. I think you're talking to them. Yeah. I just happened to look there right at that time. Okay, a moment of honesty, guys. We open up the Bible every Sunday morning, right? We open up the Word of God. We dive in. We listen. We learn. We stand up, sit down, right? We pray. Sometimes we're reminded what the Word of God says. But if we're honest, many times we leave here, we get in our cars, and we head to lunch. Don't start thinking about lunch, you're going to get distracted. I've got ADD, I know how that is, right? All right. And by the time we get to lunch today, we're already going to have forgotten some of the stuff that we talked about today. Right? By the time we get to dinner tonight, most of it's gone. And by the time we get up to go to work in the morning, whatever you do on Monday mornings, to start your week, most of it, if not all of it, has faded. Unless we work to remember the Word of God. And that's so key. We've got to study and listen in a humble way so that we remember it continually. We've got to be continually in the Word of God to remember it. And this is the main reason we do life groups here at our church. We do life groups in a specific way on purpose. We're going to recap. We dive deeper into it. We learn how to apply it to our lives. We learn how to put the Word of God into action. Because guess what? We're done with this. We filled out our notes. We filed it away. Right? Sometimes we put it in the circle file, right? And we file it away, and then we move on. But guess what? With authentic life, we have a desire for... I'm getting my exercise up here today, okay? We get this... In our life groups, we open up the Word of God, and we readdress it. And we go deeper, and we go into more stuff, but we find ways to apply it into our lives. We find ways to apply it to our lives. So by the way, that was kind of a plug. If you're not in a life group, get into one. But respond to the Word of God by continually remembering. Last point this morning is this, church. We must obey the Word of God wholeheartedly and authentically. And we'll talk about those, but obey the Word of God. Verse 22 through 23 could really be the theme of the book of James. Look at that with me again. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. And then he goes into that analogy. James is saying here that the word of God invokes action. It invokes action. And if there is no action, hear me out clearly on this one. If there is no action, then there has been no acceptance of the word. And this is counter to the false view of Christianity that we can accept Christ, but not obey Christ. I'm telling you, that ideology is out there. We can accept Christ and not obey Christ, right? And that makes no sense. It's ridiculous, right? I really believe that's what James is saying here. Now, let me give you some clarity by what I mean by then you have not accepted the word. You haven't received it. You haven't let it be planted. You haven't treasured it. Do not hear me say that if you are saved and not in the Bible and not remembering these things and not being obedient, that you're not saved anymore. That's not what this is saying. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what the Bible says. When we truly follow Christ, give Him our life, we get saved. We are sealed until the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit, unable to be plucked out of our Father's hands. Amen, church? Praise God for that. Man, that should like excite you, right? Glory toe touch, right? So we should get excited about that. That was before. You guys have no idea what that means, but you guys see me look ridiculous up here. Okay. What this is saying is that, by the way, so you have your seal. You're good to go. But if you're reading the Word of God and it's not changing you, you're not receiving it. Are you tracking with me? Are we good? Okay. If you're not in the Bible, you can't be obedient. If you are reading the Bible and not obeying it, then you haven't received it. It hasn't been planted. If you have not allowed it to change you, you have not allowed it to lead you, if you have not treasured it and let it be planted in your life, right? It can't cause action. God's word is to be planted in our heart, and it will move us to action. If we approach it humbly, if we approach it ready to hear God, it will cause action. And I will tell you this, you can tell the word of God is in you by what's on the outside of you, by what you're doing. And I'm going to tell you, the world is watching. The world is watching. And the Word of God has power. I want to show you an example of something here. I don't think you have another mess to clean up. I think you'd be good. So there's a process like that we call like the sanctification process. We want to grow. You guys probably can't see, can you? We want to grow in our relationship with Christ. We want to grow to be more and more and more and more like Him. But the world also pours into us as well, right? The world just wants to shape us and redefine what we already believe and that type of thing. So as we're growing up in Christ, we get into the Word of God and we allow it to pour into us. We allow it to pour into us and we keep pouring it into us. We allow it to keep being planted. We put it in the right soil. We allow it to keep continually. We read it to remember it, to change us, to cause action. And we begin to look more and more like Jesus Christ instead of like the world. Are you guys following me? We start to look more and more and more like Him until eventually, right, we're with Him in glory. But this is the goal. To get into the Word of God and allow the Word of God to change us, to shape us, to do action, right? But we've got to be in it. We've got to receive it in a way. This cup is receiving the water and kicking the other junk out. The filthiness, the moral filthiness that's in there, He's kicking it out. This life is because He's allowing the Word of God to pour into it. You guys with me? That's one of my favorite illustrations when I talk about what God can do when we're in Him, like when we allow Him to be in our lives, when we're in the Word of God. James is calling professing Christians here to not only do, but to be doers. Don't just open up the Word of God. It's like, man, that's really good. I'm going to go do this and then check it off your list. But be a doer of it continually, consistently and constantly be in the Word. Hear it, receive it, and be doers of it. Verse 22 says this. It says to be doers of the word and not merely hearers who, what's that say, church? Delude themselves. Delude is a great word here. Translated, it means this, to miscount, to deceive, or to have a false reasoning. Really where this word came from, it's a mathematic term that was used to describe a miscalculation. So James is saying here, those that are followers of Jesus have made a serious spiritual miscalculation if they think that they are only to read and hear and not be doers of the Word of God. It makes no sense. James is saying it's ridiculous, right? It's a miscalculation. God has given us the tools we need to live the life that He intends us to live. We have made a serious spiritual miscalculation if we think that, one, that we don't need to be in the Word, and then, two, that we don't allow it to change us and to be doers of it. Jesus says in Matthew 7, 26 through 27, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and it fell. And great was the fall." It didn't say like, man, we're talking like Jenga fall. Like this thing just, boom, you pulled the wrong one out and it just falls down. You guys know that song, like, "The foolish man built his house upon..." You guys know that song? Okay, anyways. All right. Jesus says, if you're not hearing and applying my words, you're like a foolish man. Then your life is built on sand. And when life throws storms at you, will life throw storms at you, church? All right? When it throws storms at you, you will crash, bang, and boom. Right? It's not just you're just going to like fall down and stub your knee. You're going to crash. But I like what Jesus says before this. It's just as important to see what Jesus says leading up to that talk on crashing. In verses 24 through 25 of Matthew 7. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and the slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock." Jesus himself says, if you hear my words and act on them, when that storm hits, you're not going to fall because you have a sturdy rock as your foundation. You have the Word of God that's implanted in you. We're to read the Word, approach it with humility, receive it with humility. We read it and hear it with the intent to have it planted in our heart. Did anyone ever, when they were a kid, go outside and they would have a seed of something they ate? For us, it was usually like peaches, you know, and you take that seed out of that, a watermelon or something like that, and you kind of dig up a hole, you drop it in, and you just kind of forget about it. If it grew something, man, you celebrate, and you were like the best scientist in the world or whatever people that plant stuff are called. You know, they're not called scientists, are they? I don't know. But if you have something that you really want to keep, you plant it in the right soil with enough sunlight and water, and you tend to it because you want it to grow, right? So you want to have that mentality when we read the Word of God. Am I in the right position? Am I in the right posture? Am I receiving the Word of God with humility? Is it planted in my heart? Am I treasuring it? Am I reading in a way that I can remember it? And we obey the Word of God wholeheartedly and authentically. We obey in all areas of our life. We trust it. We trust God who spoke it. And we read last week in 2 Timothy 3, God breathed. The Word of God is God breathed. And we respond in obedience to His Word authentically, genuinely, truthfully. No frauds, no mask. One of the things that really gets me is I'll be working with somebody and we'll be pouring into them, or they're saying, man, I'm good. We know this. I want to teach. I want to do this. And then they act like they've never read the Word of God in their life. I'm sure we've all been there. I've been there, right? We read it and we respond in obedience in an authentic way, to be genuine, to understand the truth. Don't be a fraud. Don't wear masks. Just do it. For us to live out our vision, the end of our vision, to live authentically for Him, the only way for us to do that is to be doers of the Word. We obey His Word for our salvation. We obey His Word to grow. We obey His Word to live for Him. And we must be one that is willing. We got to be willing. But more than that, we must be doers. We talk a lot about being willing. You got to be willing to do this. That's true. But then you got to be doers, to be active. I don't know if you guys know who this guy is. The president of the International Mission Board, David Platt, says this. God desires a willing heart that is surrendered to Him. Are you guys tracking with me? God desires a willing heart that has surrendered to Him, no question. That honors Him in the same way that a listening heart honors Him. But God nowhere calls us to stop at being willing to obey Him. He calls us, commands us to obey Him. He doesn't say this. You guys ready? He doesn't say, be willing to help the poor. He says, help the poor. He doesn't say, be willing to share the gospel. He says, share the gospel. He doesn't say, be willing to turn from impurity and sin and seek holiness. He says, be holy. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful not to hide in our lives behind a willingness to obey when God has said, do it. Do what it says. Don't just listen. Do what it says. I put my word in you. I planted it in you. I put my spirit, the Holy Spirit, God in you to move you to accomplishment. I've called you to obey. I've commanded you to obey. So do it. I couldn't have said it better. Sometimes we hide behind this. Man, God, I'm willing. I'm willing. But we're not doers. We're hearers, but not doers. What area in your life today, church, do you need obedience to God? I have a life verse for my oldest son, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. And it says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all of who you are, Jax, trust God. So when we read this, let's put your own name in there, right? Trust in the Lord. What's your name? Lord, with all of your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will make your path straight. He will direct your path. We might have people in here today that know God's Word well. They have studied it. They know it. But they aren't doing that. Is that you? And it may only be in one area of your life. God doesn't stop at saying no. He says do. We can trust in the Lord with all our heart and be obedient to His Word. This morning, all of us, church, I want to invite you to pray and just say to God, God, what area or areas of my life have you been telling me to obey, to do this, and I've not done it? How am I going to start obeying you today, this afternoon? What do I need to do, right? And have that willingness to say, I'm going to do it. What do I need to do, God? I'm going to do it. Write it down if you need to. I'm challenging you this morning, church, to write it down. It just makes it a little more real when you write it down. Please don't just give me funny looks and say, Jeff, I got this. Move on. There's so much in our lives when we read this that we don't become doers. Amen? What are we not being obedient on in our lives? Is it forgiveness? Is it unity? Is it your marriage? Is it prayer life? Is it loving somebody? Is it being in the Word? Is it growing? Is it sharing Jesus? Man, be obedient to the Word of God. James 1:1 says this, James, a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead and put that slide up there, Kevin. Do you have that one? Okay. I had a picture of a little sticker that said, hello, my name is. Right? You ever seen that? Hello, my name is. And it says, hello, my name is James. And this is who I am. I'm a bondservant of God. I'm a bondservant of my Lord Jesus Christ. That word bondservant, church, comes from the word doulos, meaning slave. One, check this out. One that is devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interest. One who gives himself up to another's will. Are you living your life in a way that puts God's ways ahead of yours? Because James introduces himself that way because he's going to approach this thing of God, you're in charge, you're in. I'm putting myself aside so that I can receive the Word of God humbly, so I can put it into action. If that is your goal, is it your desire, is it your goal and your desire to say that we must be willing, that I must be willing to obey your Word, God? Man, we've got to live that way to be able to put it into action, to be doers and not just hearers. So what do you need to do today? And we've covered this because, church, we want to stay on track as a church this year. We want to stay on track, not getting distracted or conflicting or any other thing that takes us away from what God has called us to do. For us to live authentically for Jesus Christ, you've got to be in the Word of God, church. Hear me clearly on that one. Feels weird not having it, all right? You've got to be in the Word of God. You've got to be. And read it. Put yourself aside and read it and say, God, I'm listening. Speak to me. And then do it. It's not easy. It's not comfortable. Your friends will make fun of you, right? People will frown on you. But you know God's got it in your heart. We got to do it. We got to be obedient. Amen, church? Right? Let's pray. God, we love you so much, and we thank you, God, that we have this Bible in our hands. God, that we have access to it. I've seen pictures, God, in videos of people in different countries that get a box of Bibles for the first time, and they run after it, and they grab hold of it, and they start crying, and they embrace it. And they open it up and immediately read it. God, help us have that passion for the Word of God, not just to read it, but for it to change our lives. God, there's myself included. There's got to be something in our lives today, God, that you can point out to us as individuals and say, you're living your life this way, but I've called you to do this. Why? Help us be obedient to you. Help us walk out of these doors. Help us remember this passage. Help us remember what not what I've said, but what you have said to people in their hearts, God. Help us walk out of this door and receive this word and remember it. And say, God, what do I need to be obedient to you? What do I not just to be willing to do, but what do I need to do?